So what a conspiracy theory really is, it's an explanation for something which is far more complicated and removes responsibility from the obvious people to the not obvious people in situations where the more obvious explanation is more likely. That's essentially what it is.
Well, let's break it down a little bit. You have some criteria on what the factors that go into the creation of a conspiracy theory. Tell me about some of them. How do you spot one?
Sure, of course. I mean, if we talk about the characteristics of a conspiracy theory, there'll be some which kind of attach themselves to the people who give you the conspiracy theory and some to the theory themselves. The first characteristic of conspiracy theory is that conspiracy theory doesn't believe in the role of accident or incompetence. There is no such thing as accident or incompetence or indeed coincidence in a conspiracy theory. Everything is the product of somebody's deliberate decision. So that will be one of the things about conspiracy theory, is that there will be the lack of the role of accident. Another thing about the role about a conspiracy theory is that it will almost always have at its heart the idea that the so-called official version contains anomalies which cannot be reconciled. One thinks about the magic bullet in the case of JFK, or the claim that the Twin Towers could not have been come down as a result of the weakening of the metal supports, and so on. So that would be another factor. There will be a claim to scholarship, that there are one or two, three or four, five or six significant figures or scholars who believe in this particular conspiracy theory, usually with their qualifications nicely exaggerated in order to make the case. There's the idea that the person given with the conspiracy theory is somehow the holder of a secret truth and is therefore almost, if you like, kind of part of a sort of fraternity of knowledge. There's also the kind of the idea of the conspiracy theory as anti-elite, and this is where it's very much in America. It links to, if you like, what we might call populist movement.
The populist approach, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. The elite are out to get you. They have organized this in order to do you down, you, the ordinary person, in some way. So in this sense, the conspiracy theorist becomes a kind of, like a Minuteman or an insurgent, really, you know, a kind of brave, rebellious revolutionary against the forces of tyranny.
So is it also a factor of scale, too? I mean, you quote Richard Hofstadter as talking about the non-existent version of a conspiracy. It distinguishes the true paranoid conspiracy theory as its scale, its exponency, conspiracies or plots on a vast or gigantic scale.
Well, I have to say that, I mean, it's particularly true in the States. It's less true here in Britain, but it's particularly true in the States that some of the claims about conspiracy are of such incredible complexity and such incredible scale. You know, tends to be big in America is the idea of a secret world government. You know, well, you don't get much bigger than secret world governments, really. You know, kind of this idea of these guys kind of all sitting down planning the whole thing out. It's almost as if it's a kind of alternative religious belief in which the world is ordered in the same way as you imagine heaven to be ordered, with, you know, it has a kind of guiding genius, even if it's an evil genius behind it. So yes, I mean, that's a particularly American view. And of course, over in the Middle East, that figure will always be America itself, or of course, the Zionists / Jews. They will be the people organizing this world government. It's a, you know, we have a number of different sort of formulations of this. It can be the Bilderbergers, it can be the Illuminati. A chap I was talking to the other day had a taxi driver who a long trip, who spent the entire time telling him about how the Illuminati secretly ruled the world, and so on. And I think these, you know, these are much more kind of, these are, if you like, the most ambitious theories.
There's a quote in your book by a guy named Robin Ramsey where he says, by far the most significant factor in the recent rise of conspiracy theories is the existence of real conspiracies.
Yeah.
But then he goes on to list a lot of them that you don't think hold much water.
No, on the whole, I don't think they hold much water, but he does. I mean, two of the things that are very commonly said about conspiracy theories are, one, that people believe them because there are a lot. I mean, a good example would be that Iranians have a big tendency to believe conspiracy theories. And arguably, one of the reasons for this is because several times their governments have been brought down by conspiracies. I mean, there was a government in the 50s, an Iranian government in the 50s that was brought down by...
CIA, Mossadegh?
Yeah, Mossadegh. And the CIA had approved this and so on. And this very easily, when the CIA approves something, it very easily becomes, in popular imagination, the CIA organized it and did it, which may be two entirely different things. But nevertheless, you know, the guy was brought down by a conspiracy which brought him down. So there's that kind of explanation that they kind of partially believe it because it has happened in their history, but there are plenty of places where there actually haven't been conspiracies where people believe conspiracy theories. And so I think I see a rather more kind of general tendency for people, particularly under certain circumstances, to want to reach out to conspiracy theories. And we can talk about the psychological reasons why I think that's the case, but I completely agree with you. I have to earn the right to make that explanation through kind of showing to people why it is the conspiracy theories they tend to believe in are not actually true.